Thanks for listening to the Red Bluff Vineyard podcast. Also check out our website, www.redbluffvineyard.church, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. If you want to stay connected more, also download the Red Bluff Vineyard Church app on the Google or Apple stores.
For everyone who doesn't know me, my name is Dawn. My husband and I co-lead pastor here, and he is up here way more than I am because it is totally out of my comfort zone. So anyone who is slightly interested in speaking, I encourage you, if I can do this, any one of you guys can do it as well. So with that being said, co-pastoring for us is focusing on what we're really good at and what we're passionate about. And Luke is really passionate about speaking up here, teaching, encouraging, mentoring, and I'm really good at the back behind the scenes stuff, like cleaning the church, working with the kids or the youth group. I love doing that, as well as meeting with people one-on-one. I love to sit down and have a conversation with you. So if you are looking for someone to talk to, I am your person, just so you know. So because I don't preach that often, as others here, I'd like to pray and ask God's help and guidance this morning. So would you bow your heads with me? Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for each person that's here. Lord, and I just pray that you would speak through me for our sermon this morning, and that you would use me just to speak some truth and wisdom and just to be with me this morning and on everyone here, Lord. And I just pray that you bless this service. In your holy name, amen. So I entered into the world of social media in 2000. I had an AOL email account. How many have had AOL? How many still has AOL accounts? I think I don't have my, you do, Carla. It's America Online, and that email account is how I would stay in contact and friends with my friends and family while I was in college. Back then, people didn't have cell phones. I had a car phone that was like a suitcase that we carried around, and not everyone had computers. So I would check my email at the university that I attended, and I would go to the computer lab with a whole bunch of computers in it, or I would wait in line for that one computer that we had in our hallway in my dorm room. So there was like 50 girls on my dorm floor, and we'd all wait in line to just talk and message people. It was pretty funny. So I remember going to the computer lab every day in between classes and checking my email or scheduling time to message with my friends that I didn't live by. And it was called AIM, AOL's Instant Messenger. It was also like sending texts to your friends for all you millennials out there who didn't quite get that. I feel really old talking about this, by the way. It kind of ages me. So I know there's a lot of people out there that has the same history. When the computer lab was closed, I would wait in line for the one computer on my floor and chat with friends. And this is actually how Luke and I would sometimes communicate at night after we actually had curfew at our Christian college. It was either on the phone, on our landline phone in our dorm rooms, or by chatting on Instant Messenger on our computers. And I learned very quickly that Luke was a lot faster of a typer than I was. In fact, what we did the other night, if you're interested in what 40-year-old married couples do, is I came into our room and he was chatting, or he was typing really, really fast. And I sat down on our bed and just looked to see what he was doing. And he was on the internet they have a typing test website that you can see how fast your typing skills are. So of course his was 98 words per minute. And I'm like, ooh, can I try that? That sounds like so much fun. I used to take typing classes in high school. So do you remember A, B, B, B? And I said, I used to be a really fast typer back then. So I was like, okay, game on. I'm going to beat you. It's always a competition between us. And I only typed 52 words per minute. So I'm considered fluent, and he's a pro from the statistics of that website. It's kind of fun. So that's what we did. That's what 40-year-old married people do at night when your kids are finally leave you alone. Anyways, I had my first flip phone in 2000, and I was able to text friends and family this way. As I was thinking about my early years of using social media, I remember trying a dating website. It brought back memories. I totally forgot about this. I don't even think Luke knew about this. But I did try a dating site briefly. And I'd get emails from some guys, and we'd chat, and then they would want to meet somewhere. And I'd freak out, so finally I was like, no, I don't want to meet anyone. So I erased all my information. I finally deleted my account. And so it was just scary for me to think about going on a date with someone that I did not even know, and I didn't live by my family, so like they wouldn't know if something happened to me. I don't know. So anyone who has done online dating, I give total kudos to you because you are much braver than I am. So, and I'm usually a very adventurous person. Nothing really scares me. I like doing different things, but dating online, that world is just really scary to me. So most people, I have used Facebook and YouTube, and I love getting recipes on Pinterest or learning how to stay organized in a small house with a really large family. That's my new one. I also regularly like visiting Pinterest too, or not Pinterest, Instagram, and just seeing all the pictures there that people post. I think it's safe to say that social media plays a major role in the lives of many people. You may not know this, but social media is one of the most influential aspects of the world we live in today. For example, did you know that in 2019, 3.48 billion people use social media? 60 million pictures are uploaded on Instagram every single day. I think that is amazing, but I believe it. So social media use continues to grow and is a billion-dollar industry and has become such a huge part of the world we live in that little kids who can't even talk yet know how to use cell phones or navigate YouTube. So how many parents and grandparents out there have your kids or grandkids show you how to operate social media? By show of hands, I do that with my kids all the time. If I have questions on the computer, I ask them first, because I don't want to bug Luke. He's sick of me asking him. He's like, I've showed you this 100 times. Go talk to your kids. So they're a little bit more sympathetic. But social media use isn't all positive. While the creator of Facebook creates his platform to make the world more open and connected, the truth is that we find ourselves engaged in online conversations with people all over the world. We are often more disconnected than ever before. And there are some really concerning trends taking place that are connected to social media use. For instance, in 2011, sociologists have noticed a major increase in anxiety and depression amongst teenagers. Professor Cal Newport noted that the only factor that also dramatically increases at this time was the number of teenagers owning their own smartphones and using heavy social media. Studies have also shown that negative posts on platforms like Facebook actually cause people to be negative and in turn post also other negative things. Other studies have shown that anxiety and depression are higher for adults who spend more than 2 hours on social media every single day. And social media has increased cyberbullying of all ages. It's not just kids, it's adults too. So while there are some really cool things about social media, like being able to stay connected with your family members that you don't live by and showing pictures to them, or staying connected with people in your past, there are some reasons for us to seek God's wisdom on how to use social media and to be aware of the fact that social media engagement has changed the way that people engage with each other. For example, rather than working issues out, people just block or unfollow or ghost someone. Or rather than kindly disagreeing on issues, people will slander and say things out of anger or resentment. We need to realize that the more that this happens on social media, the more likely it is going to impact the way that we engage with people face to face. And in relationship with us, with all of our relationships, like our coworkers, our peers, our spouses, our children, it's going to affect that. So that's why we're going to spend this this month in November in a new sermon series we're calling Healthy Relationships in a Social Media World. We're going to look at Scripture and see what God has to say for us in relationship to what characterizes our relationships with other people. This morning I want to read from the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, and in order to understand some basic guidelines for having healthy relationships. Romans is super applicable to what we're discussing this morning because the letter was written to help Christians living in the ancient city of Rome learn how to have better, healthier relationships. The church in the city of Rome was made up of, several ethnic groups. Those ethnic groups were the Jews and the non-Jews. And they weren't always getting along during this time. So Paul wrote this letter in order to encourage and challenge the Roman Christians to pursue healthy Christian relationships and interact in a more loving and God-glorifying way. In fact, after the Apostle Paul had heard that there were some relationship challenges in Rome, he wrote this letter and had a woman he had trained up and who was an early church leader, her name was Phoebe. She carried this letter with her and read it out loud to the churches in Rome to teach them the content of this letter. So this letter is really practical when it comes to determining some guidelines of what healthy relationships look like. So let's read this morning's passage, and it's found in Romans 12, 9 through 21. And I'll have this up on the screen since it's so dark back there. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practicing hospitality. In Romans 12, 9 through 13, that's what that was. So many of you remember many of you may remember when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And what's the first commandment? You guys can yell it out. Love God with all your heart and all your being. And the second commandment, what was that? Love your neighbor, yeah. Love your neighbor as yourself, okay? God really does care about our relationships with other people. We actually glorify God by the way that we act towards each other. One could say that the way we worship includes singing and talking to God, praying for him, but it also includes how we treat others around us in our lives. We are instruments of worship to Jesus. And this is why we need to prioritize pursuing healthy relationships. We need to make it a priority. So about 15 years ago, Luke has shared quite a few stories about our lives. And 15 years ago, Luke and my marriage was struggling. It was really bad. And we were in ministry. We weren't pastoring yet, but we were getting close to pastoring, but we were still in ministry. Luke liked arguing and fighting, and I felt like he'd freak out about things. And I basically, I'm a peacemaker, so I would basically just hold everything in and not know how to communicate, not how to verbalize my feelings. And I would just shut down. So our marriage was a recipe for disaster. And our marriage was also on the rocks. We didn't think we were going to be able to make it. So it was a trying time in our lives. And I think we had two babies at the time, too, so that doesn't help. Thankfully, we got some marriage counseling from some of our friends, and we learned a lot of tools and how to help our communication grow. And by the way, it's okay if your marriage or your family dynamics, it's okay to ask for help sometimes. That's why I think God created psychologists, therapists, you know, all the counselors, coaching. I think it's okay if you do that. You're not weak if you do that. I think a lot of times we talk about having healthy, normal relationships or normal marriages or normal ways of interacting with other people. But have you noticed that what seems pretty normal these days isn't always most helpful? This is kind of the point that Apostle Paul is making. It's normal for people to pretend to like or love people. It's normal to dishonor people, and it's normal to be impatient, and it's normal to only help those who we think will help us. These attitudes and actions are very normal in the world we live in today, especially on social media where politics and religion and sports teams like Dodgers and Giants, who can bring such division amongst relationships. Everyone's laughing that actually has that. But while those things may be normal, we need to ask whether they are healthy. And more importantly, do they bring honor to Jesus? And do they help us stand out as being different from the world, transformed by the Holy Spirit? It's actually pretty simple here. Sometimes the Bible can be challenging or difficult to understand. How many people have a hard time understanding the Bible sometimes? Yeah, I do. So it's okay. But right here, it's pretty basic. Let's listen to one theologian and how they see it. The commands in verses 9 to 13 are meant for all Christians. Of course, some will need, more than others, the command to be patient in suffering. Some, more than others, will be in a position to exercise generous hospitality. But all Christians should expect to do all of this most of the time. Read through these verses again and again and feel the simple, practical energy they evoke. They offer a no-nonsense vision of Christian living. So right there, it just said that Christians need to do this most of the time. So I challenge you, if you aren't that hospitable, it's something to pray about. You know, we just need to do that. Healthy relationships are grounded in love. I think we underestimate just how countercultural and how much of an impact we make by living our lives rooted in love. Love is the cornerstone of God's kingdom, and it's what defines our identity. You know, out of the 12 disciples who followed Jesus all those years, only one of them lived to old age. The other 11 were all killed for their faith. But the Apostle John lived into his old age, and church history tells us that when John was so old that he couldn't even walk anymore, he had to be carried into the church gatherings, and he taught the church, and the only message that he would say were, "Children, love one another." Love is the foundation to both knowing Jesus and making him known. And that's our motto here, is loving Jesus and making him known. Listen to Jesus' words in the Gospel of John. "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Did you see that? Jesus says that our love for one another demonstrates that we are his followers. We can't say we follow Jesus if we don't love others. And this is exactly what Paul is saying to the Romans. Don't just pretend to love others, really, really love them. Now we have 3 more Sundays this month, and we'll talk more in depth about different aspects relating to healthy relationships, but Luke and I just really wanted to start today by stressing how important love is. We can't move on without love, and we can't forget just how important love is in every single relationship. Every single relationship that you have, think about it, and how much you love that person or care for that person deeply. What is love? We use the word love so much. I say that too. Oh, I love this family, or I love, that's my favorite pet, or, you know, I love this clothing brand. We love our different types of food, different countries. But do we really want to know what love is? According to the Bible, love is best defined by the sacrificial life of Jesus. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, Romans 5:8. This is how Luke and I define love, and even in our marriage too, and when we do marriage mentoring for people. Love is working, might be on here. Love is working for and seeking the best for the other person, regardless of whether it is good for you. So hopefully you can see how this applies to every relationship that you have if you want to have a biblical understanding of love. In other words, love is more than just a feeling. And when I said that love is just more a feeling, is that a song, or is that I'm thinking of Trolls, maybe? Justin Timberlake? I love Justin Timberlake, so. So let's get back to Romans 12 so I can wrap things up here. The Apostle Paul gave us the basic aspect of what sincere love looks like and challenges us to pursue healthy relationships. In fact, in verse 10, Paul writes, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." Take delight in honoring someone that you love. In the original language that Paul wrote this in, which was Greek, he uses words that were generally applied only to loving relationships amongst family members. In other words, in the ancient world, if you weren't related by blood, there was no requirement for you to be devoted to loving others, which I thought was interesting. Yet in the kingdom of God, the church becomes a spiritual family that is called to express intimacy and tenderness towards one another in the same way that healthy family members express intimacy and tenderness amongst each other. So obviously this can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Without God's help, it's impossible to love a non-family like they are your own family. And I have been involved in the Vineyard Church. I've been in the church my whole life. I grew up in the church. And I have never felt like such a part of a family as the time that I have been involved in the Vineyard family, honestly. Even when Luke and I went to New Zealand, we felt like we have extended cousins over there now, because they're just, it's just a different atmosphere. And if you feel the love here and feel encouragement here and I don't know, you just feel like you belong. It's pretty amazing. So, and that's just through the Holy Spirit and what God is brought here. So here's a practical way that Paul challenges the Romans to express love and how we can also live this out in our own lives. Paul told the Romans to show hospitality. Hospitality was the easiest a most powerful way to demonstrate love in the ancient world. Listen to how the biblical scholar Douglas Moo summarizes this. "We exhibit the familiar love of true brothers and sisters in Christ by sharing with other believers who are in need. Hospitality was badly needed in a day without motels and restaurants. Traveling missionaries and ordinary believers depended on the kindness of other Christians." Now, I think that hospitality is still the easiest way to express love in today's world. So if you want to pursue a healthy relationship in the social media world, invite someone over to your house to share a meal with. It could even be, like Luke said, it could be mac and cheese and hot dogs. You don't have to have a lot of money to invite someone over. It could be going out for a cup of coffee and having them share their story with you. It could be a walk or a hike. I don't know how many times I've gone for walks with people or hikes, and it's amazing to me how fast people just share their and spill their guts out to you. And then you get to share your life with that person. You get to encourage them and be there for them, and vice versa. So ask them questions and listen to them. That will make a huge impact and get you closer to having healthy relationship with people in today's crazy social media world. So that's all I have for you today. It's short and sweet. Maybe not sweet. But so if you guys could stand with me. And I'd like to pray for you guys. Yeah, I think just with social media today, I think our community could bring out more positive things, you know, just be intentional with relationships and our friends and our family and just be there for each other through social media and its trials. I'm gonna bring some more positivity into it. So yeah, if you could bow your heads, I'll pray for us today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for today. I thank you for each family that's here, Lord, your kids too. I pray that you would use our children's church team to just be there for those kids and show your love to those kids too, Lord. We thank you for our worship team and every other team that is here, Lord, that helps at the church and volunteers their time. Lord, and I just pray that this message would just impact our lives today, Lord. That you would speak to us and clearly show us how we can better our social media environment, Lord. Lord, I pray for anyone who's having anxiety or depression or unhappiness, Lord. I just pray that you would come into their lives and draw them closer to you, Lord. And I pray also for hospitality to just outpour into people's lives here, Lord. If you want us to be more hospitable in our own homes, I just pray that you would just spring that into our mind, Lord, that we would be open to that and that we would take time out of our busy schedules just to be there for other people in need. We thank you for this and we love you so much. And I just pray that you would just continue to bless each person here, Lord. In your holy name, amen. Thank you guys for joining us this morning. It was so great to see all your faces. Please join us again 9 or 11 next week.